Well.
What are we doing over here?
What are we doing over here? This is yeah, let's see how we go with this one. Here we are in the happy place. In the happy days.
Our people will be going, oh my God, another one? Like, isn't two times a week with you idiots enough?
No.
So what are we doing here? Why don't you tell people what it's all about.
All right. So if anyone, God rest your souls, have been listening to Happy Days over the last 2 years, whatever, you know, I speak to all these different people, and I believe you were one of them one episode. I believe it was our first conversation.
I believe it was.
It was great.
The world the same.
And we never looked back. But yeah, so anyway, I chat to people and I haven't touched Happy Days this year yet. But this week I kicked back off. Just out of sheer coincidence as a favor to a friend. And then it just triggered an idea. So lo and behold, I messaged Jake and go, hey, I got this idea. And Jake goes, because we love, in case you probably haven't figured it out yet, we do enjoy talking to each other. And you guys get to listen on our conversations. And part of that is music. And, I don't know. I just threw the idea to Jake. It's like, why don't we do we do deep dives into movies. Why don't we do something like that with music? And, we're just going to have a bit of fun with this and road test something a little different and, and just see what happens. How do you feel?
I'm all about it. Cause I mean, I am a very firm believer in, without getting too pretentious, I'm a firm believer in music being like the universal glue of the universe, because it's and this album that we're going to be talking about today is just something that I have so many fond memories of. Like, I can, the thing with music is it can just take you more so than anything else. I think, you can do this with music, movies and comics and books and stuff as well. And, cartoons, we talk about that, on Rad and Freaky Friday. But I feel like with music, it's more so something that can really just take you back to a time, a place, a feeling. Like, it just instantly takes you right back there and you are reliving it. As I was saying, like this album we're talking about today, I can tell you the exact afternoon I got this album. I can tell you what the weather was, everything. It just really can take you back. And you play music, I listen to music.
There's a lot of weird emotions that come out of music. And I'm all kinds of curious to see where we go with this, because I love listening to deep dives and albums on other podcasts, but I feel like with this we might be able to explore different levels of said albums.
I think, man, what the thing that we can sort of bring to this is more of a personal touch, I guess. We can certainly touch on some of the trivia around certain albums and stuff like that, because there is some interesting stuff to be talked about. But I think it's more like, for me certainly, it's more exploring the personal impact that some of this music has on me and people, and stories I've heard about people, their stories with certain albums or bands or music and stuff like that. And I think it's going to be fun.
I think so too, man. And if you want to check out our regular broadcast of craziness and wit and profuse f-bombs, head on over to our Freaky Fridays or Rad podcast on the Rad channel, and yeah, you can listen to us weekly.
And we vow and declare we will never cover a Morrissey album on this podcast.
I was waiting for it. We made it to 5 minutes and didn't drop the M-bomb, but here it is.
Standards must be upheld.
Absolutely. Well, man, yeah, so when I expressed this idea to Jake, surprise, surprise, Jake was only too enthusiastic to want to get into this. And I just said, well, you know, I'm curious about us talking about albums that we mutually love, albums that have just, you know, had a deep, profound impact on our lives. And when I asked Jake what he thought, his response was instantaneous. And I just was like, man, I can't argue with that. I think this is great. And we're going to talk about an album from the 90s. What year to be exact? Let's say, 93, man. Man, this is a great year. I couldn't tell you what happened that year, but I no doubt it was rad and cool. But we're going to talk about the third studio album from a band that really stood out at the forefront of the goth movement of the 90s.
Was that third or second? No,
it was the third, man, because there was... Well, we're going to talk about Typo Negative's Bloody Kisses. And I know before that there was Origin of Feces, which I have and love. And before that was Slow, Deep, and Hard, I believe.
Yes.
How I remember that is a miracle in itself.
And before that, there was the Carnivore album.
Which I have as well. Brilliant.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. So I'll let you kick it off, Jake, because, man, you're the one that got excited about this. So.
Well, I mean, look, man, I will take any opportunity. Like, there are certain bands where I will take any opportunity that I can to just profusely express my love for them, and Typo Negative are one of those bands. And this is something that we've talked about on Rad, which is the way I got into this band and this album in particular was I saw an ad in a comic book, because back in the 90s, particularly with DC, you know, a lot of record labels and stuff like that would advertise their, you know, upcoming albums that they were pushing in comics. And it led me to a great many albums that I loved, like this, Paradise Lost's Draconian Times.
Yes.
You know,
Stabbing Westward.
Yes. Stabbing Westward, Nine Inch Nails, like Downward Spiral had a big advertising push.
Bon Jovi,
Def Leppard.
Sorry, mate. I just had to throw that one in.
eight minutes before we got to a Bon Jovi joke.
There you go.
But yeah, like Above by Mad Season. And yeah, I remember seeing the ad for Bloody Kisses and just going like, what the hell is this? Like, this just sounds so cool. Like the band name sounds cool. The album name sounds cool. You know, that cover is just, I mean, every teenage boy in the world is just like, whoa, there's two hot chicks kissing on this cover. What?
Yeah.
And man, I remember, and it was literally this is burned into my memory. It was the perfect day to discover Typo Negative, the perfect day to buy this album. Cause this album came out in 93. I didn't actually get it until winter of 1994.
How appropriate.
And oh man, it was like autumn coming into winter. I was living in Toowoomba, which is, you know, top of a mountain. It's cold as fuck in winter. It was a rainy, shitty day. I had just like, which not like a shitty day, like, oh my God, the day sucked. It was just like, just really bleak weather, really windy, really wet. I just finished class for the day, walked down to the shopping center in the middle of like downtown, you know, scamping into, I think it was Sanity. It wasn't Brash's. It was Sanity. I'm pretty sure.
I miss Brash's.
Oh dude. Right. Brash's was rad. And you know, man, I rolled up into there. It was like, you know, shaking the cold off, like, And lo and behold, here's Bloody Kisses sitting on shelf. Like, you know, you're flicking through the metal section. And, you know, back in the day, like, you would go into record stores and, you know, you could roll up to the counter and just say, hey, can I have a listen to this?
I love that, man.
That was so great, wasn't it? Like, it was such a great way, especially when you were a broke-ass student like I was and you couldn't afford to buy albums all the time. You just go, can I just listen to this? And, you know, the chick behind the counter's like, fuck, man, again.
The listening booths were the bomb, dude. I mean, it's kind of crazy. Like, today you can just Spotify or whatever you listen to music on, you can just find whatever album you want. Whereas back then it was like, you would go in all excited. And it, I think it was just that personal connection, talking to the person over the counter, that just really sealed the deal, whether you bought the album or didn't. I don't know. That was just me.
It was. And it was just like, the great thing about it was like, I'll get to that in a second. I'll finish the story first. Like,
yeah, so
I listened to Typo. I listened to Bloody Kisses. And man, by the time I got to Christian Woman, which was like, you know, track two or three.
The fate is sealed by track three, don't you?
Like, by the time I got to track three, it was just like, I'm in. I'm buying this.
Take my money.
I was broke as fuck, man. It was like, you know, it was like one of those decisions where it's like, okay, it's payday, you're broke. You've got like, okay, I've got this much spending money. Now I could buy, you know, five or six CD singles at like $5 each, or I could get one album.
Yep.
And it was just like, this was just like one of those moments where it's just like, I have to have this album. Like, I have to have it. I just absolutely need this in my life. And I shelled out for it, took it home, listened to the rest of it on a very rainy, cold night.
Much like the night
we're recording this.
And yeah, yeah.
I was just fucking in love. And I think that was the great thing about, there's so many great things about owning this album as a CD or vinyl or whatever, you know, physical format you can get it on. And that was the great thing for me, was like, you know, just the memories that I built getting this record was so cool. And I remember it to this day. And it's just like, that is something that you just, you don't have scrolling Spotify.
No,
and the other great thing about this album is that if you listen to Bloody Kisses from start to finish, it's literally one recording.
It really is, man. It's literally one
seamless 73-minute recording.
I revisited it, and that was the exact feeling I got from it, man. I was just like, oh, man.
Like, every track, what an album, blows into each other.
It does.
I mean, you got to get the original release, not the crappy digipack that removed the intro to Christian Woman and some of the
That's what I was going to ask you, did you get the regular format or did you get the digipack? Because for our listeners, whether they were alive or not to hear this, was Roadrunner Records, that Typo Negative was signed to at the time, they released all their artists' albums on two formats. You got the regular CD or you got the digipack, and the digipack always included loads of extra stuff, like usually a bonus DVD or some extra unreleased tracks or remixes. So yeah, it's interesting when you I want you to continue on Christian Woman, the missing intro, because I didn't know about that.
It's got that great intro. The regular album has that because Pete removed a bunch of stuff at his request for the digipack release. I ended up getting both just because I wanted all the extra stuff. But the original release has that great intro, like spoken word intro before Christian Woman starts, with Pete like, you know, forgive her, Father, for she knows not what she does. Like, in that great Pete Steele voice that's a really good version. Terrible impression of.
No, you did great.
But, like, that great Pete Steele voice. Yeah. And, like, it's such a great little intro. Like, it only shortens the song by 4 seconds, but it's like, it's an important four seconds, you know? Yeah. It, like, really sets the atmosphere. And it, you know, I feel stuff like that is so imperative and important to Typo Negative, because it just really shows the band's sense of humor. Because Typo Negative are a band that have a very dry with sense of humor that if you can't help but love.
Yeah, there is a certain charm and magic about this band, and especially this album, and it would continue into October Rust and beyond. But if you took this band too seriously, you missed the point.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I know a lot of people have had a go, you know, in recent years about, like, some of the kind of modern generation, I guess, have like stumbled across Typo Negative and they're like, oh my God, this band is so misogynist or this or that or something else. It's like, no, they're not. It's all for play. Like, you can't take any of these songs seriously. Like, you can't take Kill the White People seriously.
If you take that song serious, man, that's one of the few songs I listen to in life where I burst out laughing and just clap because I just go, bravo.
We Hate Everyone is just hilariously brilliant. I love that song so much. Like,
if you really want to just understand this band a bit better, watch any of their YouTube, but also check out Origin of the Feces and listen to some of the live recordings of Pete berating the crowd, dude. Hey, you're the asshole who paid $5 to get in here.
I mean, man, I love this band. I love this band to death.
Love this band.
Yeah, like... I mean, if you've ever watched the After Dark DVD, like, it is just, it's hilarious, you know. Interviews with Pete where he's like, I would really like to, you know, kill a woman from ecstasy, like, just have her pass out and die from too much ecstasy. I haven't done it yet, but it's a goal. It's just like, the guy just had such a dry... fucking withering sense of humor. Like,
I mean, anyone that knew Peter back in the day, and I mean, I could only wish we got to meet a guy like Pete, but dude, exactly that. He's a guy that came from the bowels of New York as a I believe he was a sanitation worker.
Yeah, he was. He worked in the park. And, you know, didn't want to, like, leave his job to go on tour because he didn't want to, like, lose his job. Like, that's just the kind of guy he was. And I can relate to that so much.
Yeah, like, if that doesn't tell you about this, the character of this man, then, yeah, like, I don't know what will. But, like, that's what I mean. Like, these guys, they're brilliant musicians. And this album is just a... it's an album that you cannot listen to just isolated tracks.
No.
Go on the journey. Like, we urge you, go on the journey. From the opening track of the, what's it fucking called again? I've really walked into this one, haven't I?
Was it Machine Screw?
Yeah, Machine Screw. Was it Transylvania Machine Screw? Am I mixing up with Behemoth? But it was Machine Screw. But anyway, that erotic opening just sets the pace of what follows straight from there.
It's just such a great album. And the thing is, man, like, nobody sounds like Typo Negative.
No, and this album solidified their uniqueness.
Yeah, man, that's the thing. And it's not just Pete's voice, but it's like, you know, fucking Josh, Kenny, like, everyone is just, like, top of their game. And, like, you know, no one sounds like Typo Negative's guitars. No one sounds like their keyboards.
No. Like, the production on this is brilliant. Like,
yeah,
Johnny Kelly's I'm sure it's Johnny Kelly, the drummer.
Yeah,
the drumming they just sound big and bombastic and yeah, like the whole band just all sound just something about this sound. It just sets the pace for all their albums after it.
Well, that's the thing, man. It's almost like, you know, I mean, I've heard a lot of people throw the goth tag or the goth metal tag on Typo, and it's true.
Easy to throw that.
Like, they are very gothic, but there's almost a fun pop sensibility to some of their stuff as well. It's like goth metal pop. Like, I mean, that cover of Summer Breeze that's on this album is fantastic.
I think that is one of the best covers ever. Yeah. Like, it's just such a good cover.
Hands down, man. Hands down. And I mean, you know, even and I know it's a song Pete hated, but Blood and Fire.
Like, oh yeah. Yeah.
I love that song, like, unreservedly. I actually really, really like the remix of it that was on the Mortal Kombat soundtrack.
Really? How's that different? Like, is it
it's just a bit cleaner and more polished. I think, like, it's not really a remix. It's just like, it's more of a cleaner, more polished version. Pete's vocals are a little different. Yeah, it's a really good, like, remix. And I really love that song. And I mean, you know, Black Number One. I mean, Jesus. It's like everyone knows that song. Like, well,
that's the thing, man. When I first started going to goth clubs, and that was a staple song on the dance floor. That was a song that every PVC clad goth chick was just losing their shit.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, and this, that song was obvious, you know, that and Christian Woman, you know, they're the two big singles, Summer Breeze being the cover song that just fucking just slays this on this album. But yeah, I mean, the two hardcore tracks, Kill the White People, Kill All the White People, and We Hate Everyone, just so friggin'.
Yeah.
Man, I love those tracks.
That's because the thing, man.
That takes you back to their roots.
Yeah. Because
they were a lot more hardcore paced back in the day, like, especially Pete with Carnivore. Mm. They just, I love how they just don't turn their back on their roots. It's great.
No, well, that's the thing, man. It's like, and that was the great thing about Typo as well, is that they could go from that really, like, you know, you just, like, Christian Woman and Black Number One, you could just, like, Pete writing them, just going, okay, here's a song for goth kids to fuck to.
Yeah, right.
Like, but then, you know, it's like We Hate Everyone and Kill All the White People. It's like, yep, and here's, like, how I'm feeling today. that this band was just so lyrically and thematically diverse in their output, but they still maintained one consistent, perfect style throughout it all.
They really did. And they're like, as a band, musically, all just hold their own beautifully. Like, I really love Josh Silver, the keyboard player in this band. He's like, just,
he's fantastic, man.
Some of the sounds he'd get, like, there were certain songs, like, say, for Christian Woman, for example, in the verses, in that early intro, it's so subtle, so moody, but then you hear those little, like, Munsters style.
Yeah, exactly.
I love those little touches. And then, you know, when the song kicks in, you just that distorted bass just wow kicking in. And
well, I mean, that's the thing, man. You can't, I mean, you know, getting back to the band's sense of humor, the video for Black Number One, I mean, Pete is sitting there playing a fucking violin, like, yeah, a bass. I mean, you know, if you watch that and you're just like, oh yeah, these guys are like super dark and super, you're just like, no, they're not, they're just having fucking ball. Like, Typo Negative were always a band, and that was one of the things that I absolutely adored about them, and one of the things that was really prevalent in this album, is like, these guys look like they were just having the time of their life. Like, they really did. Like, they sounded and looked like that. Even the album, like, you know, the album, the liner notes for Bloody Kisses, like, you know, that line in the back, like, that great picture of the band, like, you know, hanging out in the cemetery and stuff, and it's like, you know, don't mistake lack of talent for genius. Like,
yeah, exactly. That's the thing. The you know, the image screamed doom and gloom, but the everything else was just, you know, we're taking the piss.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, man.
You just really, like, you know, a lot of kids today are probably picking up Type O Negative going, oh, wow, these guys are real innovators of goth, you know. But, dude, they're just a bunch of New York dudes with a wicked sense of humor.
Yeah.
That write very clever songs.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, one of the tracks that I absolutely love on this album is Bloody Kisses, The Death of the Family.
Brilliant song.
And, I mean, you know the story behind that song, right?
Do tell. Story time with Jay.
Pete Steele wrote that for his cat.
Really?
I shit you not. Pete had a cat that he absolutely loved that passed away, and it really, really fucking tore him up.
Mm.
And he wanted to write a song about it, and he's literally quoted as saying, no one wants to see a guy that's over 6 foot crying about his cat on stage. So he wrote that entire song as a metaphor for losing his cat. And I think that's fucking genius. Like, I think that is absolutely just, holy fuck, dude. Like, you are one clever motherfucker.
Mm.
I mean, one of the great images, like, it's so funny because people are like, oh my God, did you see like Pete Steele close for Playgirl and all this sort of stuff? One of the great images of Pete Steele that has burned in my brain is a pinup poster of him from, I think it was Metal Hammer or Kerrang. And he's literally sitting on the shitter with a keyboard covering his pants are around his ankles. A keyboard is covering his lap. He's got his green singlet on and his hat. And he's kind of got his head cocked looking at the camera like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah.
To me, man, that poster just perfectly encapsulates everything great about this band and their sense of humor and everything. Like,
I mean, look, brilliant. I hate to bring it up, but I mean, safe to say that, you know, had they tried to portray that sense of humor today, they'd probably get into a lot of mischief.
They probably would. I don't think Pete would give a shit, though, honestly.
I don't think so either. But, like, I mean, I've only, you know, listening to this album brings back such great memories, like when Pete Steele was on the Jerry Springer Show.
Mm.
Like, I love that. Just when he walks out to the crowd's just friggin' losing their shit. And he just
crosses himself and then flips everyone off Italian style. It's great.
So good. So clever.
Thing, man. Like there is never gonna be another band like Type O Negative terms of attitude or sound. And this was such a great album to discover them on. And it's just such a great album to just sit back and really enjoy, you know? Like you just sit back, you put it on. You know, best listen to on a cold, rainy winter's night.
Absolutely.
Perhaps with some candles burning even.
Yeah.
Just to get the whole thing going.
Yeah. But, I really love Can't Lose You. I think that, the singles.
That song too, yeah.
Yeah, Can't Lose You, the final track, is probably my personal favorite on the album. I mean, yeah, of course, Black Number One, Christian Woman, Summer Breeze, singles, yeah, cool. But other tracks like, for me, my other tracks are Can't Lose You and We Hate Everyone.
Yeah.
I think just two completely brilliant tracks. Yeah.
Well, I actually really love Set Me on Fire as well. Like, I love the way Summer Breeze just kind of blends into that. And for the longest time, I literally thought it was one song.
Yeah, same. That's the clever thing about this band and this album in particular, is like you said early on, this is an album where you can't just listen to one isolated track and think you've got it all worked out. You need to go on the journey and start at track one and just let it play out. The way it ebbs and flows into each other with the tracks is a work of genius.
And I mean, for God's sake, anyone who's listening to this that wants to get into this band and decides to YouTube it, don't listen to the edit of Christian Woman.
No.
Because it's terrible deliberately because, I mean, Pete literally named it butt-kissing sellout edit for the radio edit for that song because it is... hysterically bad. It's just like, it is like, oh my God, like you guys just went, okay, you want to play this on the radio and you don't want to play our full version? All right, have this shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, oh my God, it's so bad. It's so, so bad.
On the video, but... Oh yeah, yeah. On the double disc edition of this that you just mentioned with the controversial track Suspended in Dusk, and I only say controversial because there was a little bit band disagreement over that song being included, but it was Peter Steele's vision that would lead into what would be October Rust that that this track was the instigator of.
Yeah.
But also on there is a track, another cover for Black Sabbath.
Mm. Which I think was on the
Nativity in Black.
Nativity in Black albums. I think it was on either the first one or the second one.
First.
But, oh God, those were great albums, weren't
they? Dude, yeah, I love them both. But seriously, if you get the first one, like ending with Typo Negative, Black Sabbath, is just chef's kiss. I think there's a, yeah, there is. There's a bonus track at the very end, I believe. I could be wrong, but I do believe the standard edition was Type A Negative.
Yeah.
But either way, like, they're on the album and it's friggin' brilliant.
I think, well, I had it on cassette. Yes, I'm that old. I had Nativity in Black on cassette, and I think it did end with Type A Negative.
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't get bonus tracks on cassette.
Oh,
I had it on 8-track.
Super 8, baby.
I just, man, this is just such a great album and a great way to discover this band. And it's just, everyone I know, with the exception of one person, everyone I know that I've introduced this band to absolutely fall in love with them. Like, I was dating someone last year and exposed her to Type O Negative, which sounds probably as perverse as it was. Because, I mean, you know, Type O Negative, you've got to have some sort of double entendre in there.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, and she absolutely loved them. Like, she was messaging me, like, days later, like, I'm listening to your favorite band. I'm like, well, that kind of doesn't really narrow it down, hon. Which one in particular? It's like, oh, Type A Negative. I'm like, oh, cool, really, you like them? It's like, I fucking love them. I'm like, oh, rad. Like, everyone just loves this band. Like, I just don't know how you can't. Like,
there's a certain charm and magic about this band that will, it, I don't know, like you say, it's an album that's best suited listening on a cold rainy day, light some candles, and, you know, have a glass of red wine and just let Pete take you away. You know, like, it's that kind of magic. And that, I believe that's what the album was intended to do.
Yeah, man, it's just such a perfect album that just, like, it's such a gloomy, but in a good way kind of album. It's not a gloomy album in the sense of, like, you know, fucking listening to the Smiths and now I want to, like, you know, kill myself. Because, well, you know, if you're listening to the Smiths, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But it's just such a fun, gloomy, kind of spooky album to just kind of, like, you know, I find this album really relaxing.
It is. This album, like, I think this album is really, you know, we've talked about albums before where a lot of them are intended for a journey. And this album, I think, is one of the prime examples of a journey. That's the way it should be listened to. It's not intended. Like, I sound like a broken record. I can't stress enough that this is an album where you can't just go, oh yeah, listen to Christian Woman and I've worked out this whole album. You're going to miss out on some of the fun on this album. Like, Kill All the White People or We Hate Everyone, you're going to miss out on those moments. Or, you know, some of the other more definitive tracks, like Can't Lose You, or even their cover of Summer Breeze. You know, it's an album that just musically will take you on a journey that will soothe your soul and for us, it takes us back to moments in time. For me, it's taken me back to going to some of those really cool goth shops and just, I don't know, just hearing this played.
How did you first discover this one, dude?
Well, I mean, look, I hate to say it, but it was Black... I think it was actually... I do want to say Black Number One. Mm. I do believe I heard that in on my early days of going to the golf clubs. But I think... I'm pretty sure, yeah, that, I'm pretty sure that was the first track off this album that I heard.
I don't think there's anything wrong or embarrassing about hearing like one of the big singles, you know.
No.
Like I've never been a fan of that sort of that attitude that people have where it's just like, you know, how'd you get into a band? And you know, sometimes you get like, and I'm not saying you're doing it, but I'm just saying like sometimes you get people, it's like, oh, well, like I had this conversation once with someone about Nine Inch Nails and they're like, oh, well, I got into, like, you know, it's really embarrassing, but Closer was the first song I heard. I'm like, dude, that's not fucking embarrassing. That's a great track. And I don't care how you get into a band as long as you get into them. Like,
yeah, that's it. And that's like, the power of music.
Yeah, man. It's like, it doesn't matter how you discover something. I mean, Jesus, I fucking got into this band because I saw an ad in a comic book, for God's sake. Like,
and that's kind of, that's, you know, not many people can say that.
I didn't even hear anything. Like, I just thought, and, you know, this is one of those great things about having record stores and stuff is, like, flicking through and seeing the album art and getting drawn into it and going, wow, what is this about? And that was the cool thing about, you know, seeing the ad in the comic for this album. I was just like, this looks really fucking cool and kind of, you know, a bit, like... dark and spooky. And you know, I mean, I was like 1994, man, fuck, I was like 17. I was like, you know, full on into, like, you know, getting my goth on. Like, I was a big fan of The Crow, like, you know, the comic and the movie.
Well,
like,
the timing of this album was appropriate because, I mean, that was goth absolutely. Was all the rage, man.
Yeah,
like
goth was hitting its peak in 94.
Yeah, like, I mean, this is pre Manson even. Like, Manson was
still on the way up. Like, it was about a year before Manson got really big.
He was still doing the club circuits in Florida at the time, man.
So, yeah, well, I think what, Portrait would have been out by then.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it wasn't huge. So
yeah, he was a cult band back then.
Yeah,
but yeah, like, I mean, this band at the time when they came out, like, this is at the forefront of, you know, Roadrunner's explosion of the metal movement with, you know, Sepultura and Biohazard and Fear Factory, all those bands. And his Type O Negative, just the odd one out in this mix, because they weren't like traditional heavy or anything like that. They were just, I don't know, man. I am hard pressed to figure out a band that's remotely like these guys.
That's the thing, man. There is no band like Type O. I mean, look,
the closest I can think of is Cathedral.
Well, look, I know October Noir are out there doing their thing, and they're very like, they wear their Type O Negative on their sleeve, and God bless them. Like,
yeah, absolutely, man.
I'm not throwing shade on them at all. Like, I love that those guys are keeping the Type O spirit alive. I think Kenny's got a new band called Silver Tomb.
He does, yeah, yeah. Like,
I haven't heard a whole lot of their stuff, but yeah.
No, but that's the thing, man. The guys, like, I mean, yeah, I don't need to go into all the other albums, but because it's about this album. But you know, this album was the launch pad for the rest of their career.
I'm sure if this keeps going, we'll get to those albums.
Yeah, I know. No,
we'll wind up like Rad and Freaky Friday, listening like, oh, we're just going to do this band's discography for the next month, and then we'll do a couple of solo albums, and then we'll launch into Bon Jovi's discography.
Oh, what could possibly go wrong? Oh, I don't know.
Exactly.
With
you and me steering this ship, fucking icebergs ahoy.
We will smash those fuckers into the hell. No, but look, I mean, this is a fun album just to get into. It's got the right mix of gloom, but it's got the energy behind it. I mean, dude, just if you listen to this album, please, please crank this puppy, because Pete's bass rumble will just do things for you.
Oh, dude, yeah. Like, this is an album best listened to really loudly. Yeah. And uninterrupted. Like, just turn your notifications off.
Yeah.
Sit back and just set aside 73, 74 minutes and just really just soak in it, man. Like,
look, here's a quick piece of advice. With CDs, apparently, I didn't get the memo, but with CDs making the big comeback that it's apparently making, if you're going to invest in a CD player to relive this magic, we highly recommend you go find this album on CD and just do yourself a solid and sit down and listen to it from start to finish.
I recommend you jump on, and I know that there is a box set that's fairly affordable of Typo Negative's Roadrunner Years, which I would really recommend getting if you were going to be investing in CDs.
Dude, their discography is exemplary.
I'm not going to suggest anyone listening to this invest in CDs, because I'm still rounding out little bits of my collection for CDs, and I don't want any of you fuckers snaking some shit out from underneath me. So, you know, don't do that. However, in about 6 months, once I've gotten all my little holy grails that I'm looking for, then go buy it. No, I really do think, like, jokes aside, this is an album. I mean, I don't know if it's out on vinyl. I don't have a vinyl player.
It probably is.
I believe it might be. I do think I have a friend who has this on vinyl and swears by it, says it's fantastic. I just think, look, whatever way you choose to listen to this album, make sure you're listening to the entire thing from woe to go, because like Jesse said, it's really an album that takes you on a ride, and just, it will just put you into a time and a place that's really fucking nice to be in. I think the thing is, it's like, you know, Pete was very much a guy that, like, he loved, like, and you could see it in the iconography of Typo Negative, like any of their albums. He's a dude that, like, loved autumn, loved, like, you know, falling leaves and that whole kind of spooky kind of autumny feel. And I really think that this band managed to capture that feeling. And I know it sounds silly and weird, and you're just going to be like, fuck, are you going to start chanting, you hippie? But like, and I might, but I really feel like this band captured that feeling in their
absolutely
music. Like, especially this album and October Rust. I mean, October Rust is like,
oh, dude,
man,
yeah,
when we get to that, yeah, one, whew, look out.
Ooh,
yeah. You know, no, this album especially, man, it just really just, yeah, there is a vibe to this album that is almost indefinable.
There really is, man. I mean, listening to this album, for me, this album in particular just takes me back to those early days of visiting the city and going into, you know, the goth shops when there were many goth shops. And just, I don't know, man, you can always bank on listening to Depeche Mode or Typo Negative or Danzig, and it just brings back all the smells.
Which is a trifecta of awesome, right?
Right. But, like, for me, I don't know about you, but it just brings back memories of smell, of oh, weather, of just,
man, yeah, like,
yeah, like all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, for me, this album just makes me think, like, of the afternoon I got it, and pretty much the winter that followed that, like walking home from, you know, classes, like in my doing my art degree and stuff like that, just walking along wet streets with like leaves just matted down to the concrete, like that smell of like rain and damp air and stuff like that, and just walking home listening to this album, because, man, not gonna lie, I played the fuck out of this album for months. Months and months and months. I would just, I I copied it onto a cassette. I chucked it in my Walkman, and it pretty much went with me everywhere I went. Like,
yeah, it's a magnificent album, and yeah, I can't. And,
you know, the smell of like enough. Wood fires in the air and stuff like that. Like, oh yeah, dude, like this album, honestly, you know, it's again, like you said, it's like Type O Negative didn't fit into anything. Like, they weren't thrashy like Biohazard or, you know, Fear Factory or any of those sort of guys.
No.
Like, they were just doing their own weird little indefinable thing where it's like, yeah, they were heavy, but, you know, they were kind of funny, but kind of melancholy, but kind of, you know, that they you couldn't define them.
No.
And this album and this band, like particularly this album, and, you know, to, you know, probably similar degree, October Rust, they're just like a fucking blanket for my soul, man. Like, they really are. It's just like it's a warm hug. Like,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, this album is a realization that it's a segue from what they did on the previous two albums into what would be October Rust. So this album sort of sits in the pocket of just that transition from one vibe into another vibe. And it's just, it's amazing to capture that moment in time. And that's the beauty of music for me, man. I love these musical journeys of bands where you just pick up that point where the band's just about to just go launch into something, but you just capture that wave.
Right, yeah, it's like this album is like the bridge between Type O being like a fairly underground niche kind of band that only a few people have heard of to, you know, every chick that you meet that has black hair and makeup saying, oh my god, I love Black Number One, like Pete Steele, I wish he'd fuck me to that song. Because like, it is. That. And I'm not hanging shit on any of those girls. I knew plenty of them and they're great and god bless them. But like, you know, it's like that bridge from like it's sort of like, you know, that moment where, you know, just before everyone knows that band, you know, and that's what Bloody Kisses was to me. It was the album that you could, you know, kind of whore around your friends and go, dude, you got to listen to this. Like, you got to listen to this. Like, when you're done with it, give it to that guy.
Yeah, because this album, there's with this band, there's an attitude that comes with that music. And it's just so left of center compared to everything else coming out around that time, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's what a lot of kids gravitated to. And bless their cotton socks for it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It really is. It's like, you know, it's that... I feel like this album for Type O Negative, like you said, it's that moment of time where they're just on the cusp of being the goth band that everyone knows about. Like, absolutely. You know, right before... Because October Rust was huge as well. And then, you know, you got Life Is Killing Me after that. And, you know, all the greatness that would follow. And yeah, you know, then like, fuck, they're appearing on fucking soundtracks here, there and everywhere after this. And it was great to be there at the start.
It was a good time to be a band on Roadrunner back then too, man. And for these guys, they enjoyed that success, I hope. I don't know what was going on behind the scenes, but, you know, between this album and October Rust, what a period of creative awesomeness. That's really, in my final thoughts, that's kind of all I really want to say about these guys. It's just...
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, you know, we could probably blither on for another 3 hours, but it's just going to be a variation of how great a Type O Negative and how amazing is this album. Like...
Yeah. I think also, you know, when you know, getting back to what you asked me kind of at the start of the episode, like, I think the goal of this is, like, traditionally this podcast is just more about, you know, it was about talking to interesting people and stuff. And, you know, it's no secret I love talking to Jake, and we're like, you know, peas in a pod. So,
and we are interesting people.
Yeah.
At least my mum says so.
Oh, our mates in Kazakhstan think so too. But look, man, for me, I just felt like it was a no-brainer for us to talk about music on an exclusive platform.
Yeah.
And be able to just, you know, we could be the nerds and go through and microscopically talk about every track and every component and blah, 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 blah. But I think there's plenty of podcasts to do that already. So what we're trying to give you is just the vibe and just our personal connection to these albums.
And, well, I honestly think, man, like, for me anyway, I don't know how the rest of the world feels, and, you know, fuck it, I'm talking for me here.
Who cares?
But I think for me, it's like, that was always, music is a very personal thing, I think, for everyone, at least everyone with a brain. And I think, like, the thing that, like, always drew me to listening to music was hearing people talk about it passionately, not going through and, like, I mean, look, if you want to know the facts and figures about the recording of fucking Bloody Kisses and the different releases and, you know,
how it charted,
you know, its cultural impact, blah, 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 you can find all of that stuff on the internet. There's a Wikipedia fucking entry about it. Like, you don't need to hear us fucking tell you that shit. For me, getting into music, you're like, and I do hope that, like, if we, you know, if this picks up and, like, you know, Kazakhstan digs it, and, you know, eventually,
we might even reach Antarctica.
Eventually, 8-track tapes become a thing over in Kazakhstan, and, you know, they start to progress. Maybe, you know, people might want to check out some of the albums we're talking about on this podcast, and
that would be really cool.
The way that I've always gotten into music is to hear people talk about it and tell me what they loved about it, not, like, you know, oh, you should buy this because it rated fucking in the top 5 for 13 weeks straight. It's like, I don't fucking care. Like, I don't give a shit. I'd rather listen to a band that never made the charts if they're good. Like,
that's what takes me back to what you were saying earlier about going into the record store and asking to listen to this album. I think that's kind of the point that I wanted to get to, was the way we're talking now, it's kind of similar to going into the music store back in the day and having that conversation with the person over the counter. And, you know, of course, if you went to, like, some of the more commercial music stores like JB Hi-Fi or, you know, as it's known today, or any of the other HMV or whatever of the past, they would sell you anything that was popular. Whereas if you go to the indie record stores, like for me, it was Inferior Records.
Skinnies.
Skinnies. Even Rocking Horse to this day, these guys would talk to you from a more personal level about albums, and they wouldn't pick you what's the top 10 seller this week. They would go, hey, if you like the Ramones, I reckon you'll dig this, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm all in for that. And I think that's kind of the gist of what I'd love to, I like to think we'll achieve on this podcast.
Like I said, I think it's all about, like, you know, giving people the personal reasons why this is a great album, not the facts and figures and all of that jazz, because it's like, you can get that anywhere. Like,
I want to
hear, like, you know, man, when I'm talking to people, it's like, I want to hear, like, you know, we're talking about music, so I want to hear, like, how you found this band, like, how you discovered it. What was the song that got you into them? How were you feeling when you heard them? What attracted you to them? Like, you know, what's your favorite album? What's your favorite video? Like, why do you like it? All of that stuff is interesting, because then that makes me want to go and check it out. Like, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of, you know, the template of what we're going to do here. And it's probably, you know, how regular we do this. It's undetermined yet, but I mean, we got our hands full pretty much with Rad and Freaky Friday as it is, but we're going to try and pop one of these bad boys in on a semi-regular basis.
Yeah, man. I think, you know, we've sort of talked about it and, you know, in one of our famous on-air production meetings. Bonus content. Patreon this shit. But I think we talked about, like, you know, maybe trying to do one every couple of weeks or once a month or something
like that.
So,
absolutely.
You know, we'll see how we roll with things. But
and that's the beauty is for us, it's just a great excuse to go revisit these albums and just get back those warm, fuzzy feelings that you get from listening to an album from start to finish. And I guess that's kind of the musical challenge that I like to think that you and me will both present anyone listening to this podcast is we encourage you to do that. Listen to track one and let it just play all the way through. Don't skip the
absolutely
track.
Yeah, no, like, yeah, no, that's absolutely it. It's just like, you know, I think I would love for it to be a comeback thing where people just start listening to albums from Woe to Go. None of this, I'm going to buy the single on Spotify. Not saying anything bad against Spotify. We love you. Please keep hosting us. But just listen to the whole thing from Woe to Go. Like, that's, do it the way the artist intended. It's like, you wouldn't watch a movie and just skip around scenes. Like,
well, that's it, man. I mean, God, there's so many examples we could rattle off, but I'm not going to, not today. But this album that we've just talked about, Bloody Kisses, is an album that is righteously so deserving of track one right through to the end.
Yeah.
And you will thank us later. It's a lot of fun, and it's got a little something there for everyone. And, it's just got a depth and mood to it that very few bands today have at all.
Yeah. That's the thing, man. There is no one like Typo Negative. There's only one of them. And they are sorely missed by me.
Yep. But thankfully we have the music, and that's good enough for me.
Yep, exactly.
Yep.
Well,
this has been fun.
It has. Next week, next time, we'll, I don't know, talk about what? Fucking
Bon Jovi.
Yeah, you know, we probably should just do a Bon Jovi.
Just for fun.
No, I mean, you know, I was going to suggest, you know, fucking Michael Bolton or something like that. You know.
Hey, Michael Bolton. Now there's an album. How can we be lovers if we can't be friends?
Oh, fuck. How can we start over when the fighting never ends?
How am I supposed to live without you? Oh, fuck.
But no doubt we'll be back with something cool. So.
Yeah, absolutely. If you've listened to our other two shows, you've heard probably rumblings of various bands and albums that we love. So no doubt one of those will pop up in the near future. And yeah, we'll have some fun. And
exactly.
Who knows? We did our first little three-way conversation with the Chad the other week. And
yeah, was that
who
good
knows?
For you?
It was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was great for me.
Yeah, but, you know, we might do more stuff like that too, so.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I'd love to do it, man. I really would, because, I don't know, it's just, it's good to not only get our perspective, but it's also good to get an added, especially for music, get the perspective of someone
that's connected. Well, you know what would be really rad one day is to get fucking Devoy on here and talk about Jerk's first album.
I'll see what I can do.
That could be fun, because I honestly feel, and this isn't just like, you know, fucking kissing his ass because I think the album's great. I really do think that is an album that is fucking criminally underrated and way more people should hear.
It's a moment in time that will never get old. It'll never, it'll just never go away, because it's a thing of beauty.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. Much like Bloody Kisses. Just
exactly.
It's a moment in time that's just brilliant. And we salute you, Pete Steele and Typo Negative.
Yes, we do. And thank you very much for the memories, guys.
Yeah. And thank you, everyone, for listening into this podcast. And really appreciate it. It's really cool. We've had a great time. Thanks so much, Jake, for jumping on here and agreeing to do this.
Any excuse to run my mouth, you know that.
I just think it's a nice extension of what we already do.
Yeah. Spin off.
Yeah. Bonus content. Yeah. Yeah, feel free to leave donations. We happily take them. So.
Yeah.
Learjets aren't cheap.
Yeah. But yeah, look, you know, we take cash, food, full frontal nudity, you know, whatever.
Absolutely. But no, look, tune in. There'll be more on the horizon. Stay on the Freaky Rad Insta page or the Freak Productions page, and we'll have more stuff announced soon. And yeah, we'll do this again real soon, dude.
Yeah, we will. We absolutely will.
Till then, yeah. Thanks for tuning in, and yeah.
I'll see you Friday.
I'll see you, buddy. Peace out, all.
Laters.